Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
I live in the 2020 version of the Hindenburg blimp above Australia, one that doesn't crash. So I have no postcode that I live in. I live right next to everybody listening.
Yeah.
But for you, Jules, and people in Victoria, with COVID restrictions, you are allowed outside with certain vaccination restrictions to go to picnics.
Yeah, which is really exciting after being locked down for so long. What do you mean?
I came down and had to refuel with my family. And while we were landing, Emily said, I'm going to organise with some of our mutual friends to catch up for a picnic.
Nice.
When deciding to go for a picnic, I had the same idea as you. Sunny day.
Yeah.
Picnic rug, Aperols, cheese board, friends, fantastic.
Jeez, it sounds like an Instagram post.
Didn't turn out that way. When you have a child and essentially a puppy, a picnic is a f***ing nightmare.
I swallowed my tongue with that.
We went to a botanic garden.
Are you talking about like the organisation of it?
The whole process.
Okay.
Organisation and execution.
Okay.
So when you have a child, not only do you need to pack a nappy bag, which is extensive, pram itself, then cheese, crackers, drinks, ice, and then...
Cheese knives, yep.
Winston, the one-year-old golden retriever.
Aww.
When he realised we were heading somewhere, the excitement levels for this dog went through the roof.
Aww, I'm getting excited for him.
Don't be. We rocked up at the Botanic Gardens. I have got over my left-hand side this ice pack full of the food.
Yeah.
Right arm is got another supermarket bag with miscellaneous items in it.
Yeah.
I'm holding on to a tugging Winston as he screams to sniff every single thing in this garden.
Yeah.
Emily's got the pram. And then she's also got all the heavy stuff underneath the pram in the little storage area.
Yeah.
This thing's like hills, down, ponds, it's like damp grass that's hard to get through. It's like a four-wheel drive pram you need. We finally set up in a spot.
Mm.
And Winston loses his mind. He's barking. He's overjoyed. He's jumping. He's trying to steal crackers.
Him.
He's smelling cheese. There's chocolate there. Don't eat that, you dumb dog. Because I'm yelling at him while trying not to yell because our friends are over here and everyone's having a fine conversation. I'm having a f***ing seltzer. I hate seltzers because I'm on a diet. 69 calories in a can is not enough. And then the baby starts crying. So then I've got to take the baby. I've got to walk her up and down the hills that we've just gone through, trying to put her to sleep by the rocking motion. Winston, I don't know, is still back at the picnic with Emily trying to hold on to him because he's a daddy's boy. So he wants to be with his dad, who he can't see because I've gone out of sight. And then all of a sudden, he's pulling and tugging. He's dragged Emily's white dress through the mud off the picnic rug because she can't contain him because he's too strong. Picnics are not the right idea for up-and-coming families.
Oh, just take a bucket of KFC and don't worry about the cheese board. You won't have to worry about that.
Cool. Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
Yes, if you've been following my journey for probably all my life, it's always on a quest to find a husband. You know, find that one. I'm someone who doesn't settle, you know. I feel like I am a little bit too picky when it comes to finding someone.
I'll say something. Around the age that we both are, which is 33, you can only opt for the one because you can't afford to waste time on somebody who isn't perfect.
That's exactly right. My
also, the perfect
wasting
man
time
doesn't exist.
No, well, I know that, but my wasting time
that's
in my
exactly
20s.
Right, but the perfect man doesn't exist. Ah, bugger. Another journey.
Just kick me in the guts, why don't you? Look, I understand the perfect man doesn't exist, but I'm looking for my kind of perfect.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? I'm happy to be forgiving and understanding and all those kinds of things, but unfortunately, I just haven't come across a guy that ticks the major boxes
what
of
are the
morals
major
and
boxes?
Values. You know what? It's really weird. I feel like I'm looking for someone who has the same morals and values as the men in my family, like my dad and my brother.
Yeah.
And so coming across that guy that is like, has that, you know, that country boy ocker mentality, you know, where they will help anyone out. They'll do anything. They're a handyman as well as being smart on technology.
You've made a big mistake. You've applied for first dates. You obviously need to go and farm once a wife. I mean, you've applied for the wrong television. I'm looking for a country man with homestead values.
No,
where's
the
flannel? Owns property.
No, because I would rather live... you know, I don't want to live out in the country too much. Okay. I grew up in the country, okay? And the only reason why I have never applied for Farmer Wants a Wife is because I feel like they can dictate how the show, how you're portrayed.
Right.
Right. Whereas First Date is very quick, fun, over, done, you kiss at the end, or you go out and you party.
This is where they ask at the end, do you want to see this person for another date? And is that
correct.
Awkward moment
and
where
it's
they
done.
Go, I'll go first. I don't think so. I think we're friends. I think we're like long friends. I think we could be friends. And the guy's looking at her like, yeah.
Yeah, look, I just didn't want also to do something that would take 3 months out of my life.
Okay,
you know what I mean? I was like, it'd be one day. It'd be one night of my life.
I'd get
dressed up. So I applied and I'm going through the questions that they're asking me, which are things like, what's the worst date you've been on?
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, you remember when that wife messaged me when I was on the date
with her recently,
with her
yes.
husband? Yeah.
You got a number for a guy at a bar
yep.
and then all of a sudden he was driving to meet you
yep.
as his wife texts you saying, do you know my husband?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yep.
That's a good answer.
What did your last relationship end? You know, like it just brings up how many relationships you've been in. And it was just starting to bring up all these scars that have happened in my life when it comes to relationships that I just kind of exited out of it. But I had already put in my contact details. All of a sudden, I wake up the next morning, I get an email, an invitation Ooh. To join a Zoom chat Ooh. For my interview to Ooh. Apply the show. And I had to respond. And all of a sudden, I've chickened out. And now I'm just like, oh, you know what? I just completely give up.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
When you said you're perfect man before, you didn't say anything about aesthetics, what you're looking for physically.
Okay.
Obviously, first date, you meet the person, you get to get the personality, and you get to see what they look like.
Yeah.
Would you, as a warm-up, be up for a radio first dates where you don't get to see what the person looks like? We'll put you on two dates, maybe on next week's show. I don't know how long it takes to organize these things. We'll put it on the website. People apply. You will know what they look like. You don't. You get to know their personality on air, and then I'll show you what they look like after you've chosen between the two.
You know what? Because every time I've ever spoken to a guy with a hot voice on radio, and then I'm like, oh, you know, and then I've like stalked them somehow.
Oh, I know.
They're
what
you're not
saying.
As hot as what they sound.
Well, be honest about what you're thinking. You think Dylan sounds hot, and then you found out he's in a wheelchair, and you're like, no, it's not for me. And you're a pig.
No, I'm not like that. No, I just don't want you to be solely, you know, responsible for choosing the guys because I feel like you're just going to set
me
up.
I'll choose one. Amelia, our producer, picks the other.
I would prefer a guy that's over 5 foot
no,
two.
No, physical
oh,
characteristics.
Come on.
Follow our socials at Hit Weekend Breakfast. We'll get it up during the week. And then by next week, this time next week, we'll have two men in a radio first date.
Oh, I'm going to get on my game. You're going to see how I play.
Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
And I know I sound like an asshole. I know that. But I have said on record that Kirsty from the block, from Kirsty and Jesse the couple,
mm-hmm.
she's got to stop pursuing her singing as a career and investing so much money in the full production of releasing the single, the studio time, the video that she's just released.
That's your opinion, though.
Of course.
You know, there's some country girls out there that just doesn't love, like, what she's doing.
A couple of country girls don't pay the bills.
Yes.
So I'm asking 131060, is it better to tell someone in your life, and I'm not a friend or family of Kirsty, I'm just a fan of them on the show The Block.
Yeah.
Is it better for you to go and tell your cousin, give up on this because you're spending a lot of money, wasting money, and it's probably not going to pursue something? Now, I should also point out,
okay, here we go, trying to defend himself.
Pressure makes diamonds.
Yes.
And sometimes, and you hear the stories, especially like entrepreneurs and stuff,
yeah.
you know, they use that as fuel and motivation.
Yes.
So if Kirsty, someone relays this conversation that some asshole on radio had, I hope you use it to fuel yourself and desire if that's what you so want. But for me, as a person who works in music, the music's not good enough.
Well, here we go. I chucked this up on our Instagram, right? I put a poll up whether yep. or not you should say something to the person
yep.
or whether you should just, you know, keep quiet on it, keep your opinions to yourself and let that person spend all their
I'm
time
really
and money.
Interested. What's the stats?
68% agree with you.
I think
they
got
agree.
It.
They say something. Whereas I am on the 32% where you go, no, if someone is wanting to pursue a passion and they're wanting to invest their money and their time into mm-hmm. it, let them go. Like, you know, like I said before in the break before, it's better to get to that point where you're like, okay, well, I gave that everything.
Yeah, leave no stone unturned. Exactly. Totally understand.
I'd rather know that it didn't work than to sit back and go, well, I should have.
I'm not saying Kirsty shouldn't make a song, make a music video, but she's now on her sixth. And someone should have told her before she started number two that maybe it's not good enough. Now, Arsehole Angus, but I want to know on 131060, Amelia in Essendon, what do you think about this? Is it better to tell someone they aren't good at something? And she's good at, she is good at singing and not good enough to pursue it as a career and waste the money.
I think that you should definitely tell them, save them the embarrassment.
Now, have you heard Kirsty from the Block's new single?
No, I haven't.
I'm jealous. Jealous of you.
What if she like makes a huge hit, makes a lot of money, and she's like, dang, you were wrong.
Then I'm happy to be that fuel for the fire. Mel, what's your thoughts? Should you let someone down easy or let them pursue their dreams and probably go bankrupt?
I'd probably let them pursue their dreams.
Yeah, I'm with you, babe. It's only your opinion, right? How do you know that someone out there doesn't actually enjoy whatever talent that they think they have?
That's right.
But there's a difference between enjoying your talent, though, singing at your local pub, singing for your family and friends, still having the talent. I'm not saying don't stop singing. I'm just saying you've spent money on a music video clip. You're going to all of this expensive to try and make your career out of it. When in reality, I mean, I don't know Nashville and how the country music scene works, but have you heard her song, Mel?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay. Look, maybe she's just got to the point where she's, you know when you spend too much money or you spend too much time on something, you're like, oh, well, no backing out now. I just got to go all in.
You're getting up with Dylan, Jules and Angus on Weekend Breakfast.
Now, a Florida man has become a viral sensation after he was filmed capturing an alligator with a garbage bin. I'm not sure if you have seen this
video. I see the internet. I'm on it.
It is everywhere. Now, I think the reason why it has gone viral is the fact that usually when you see someone trying to handle a wild animal, it's, you know, a professional. You know, they're all dressed up in their protective gear. They've got their sticks and everything.
They're just in khaki in Queensland and they're going around catching redbacks under fridges.
That's exactly right. But this guy was just dressed up in his gym wear and he had a garbage bin. And he said that he had opened up the lid and somehow coaxed the alligator into the bin, got it standing upright, shut the lid, and then wheeled it over towards the water and then flipped the bin over and let it go.
It's very impressive. It's a classic Florida story.
It is.
I should mention, I'd like to talk about bin etiquette a lot of the time. This gentleman is lucky enough to have a large recycling bin. I've talked about my particular rental at the moment is a small recycle bin and I'm very furious about it, taking it out to the curb and seeing my neighbours with those large double-sized bins and I don't know why I don't have
one. You would definitely not be able to fit an alligator in your bin.
Exactly right. But this guy did. And on 131060, we're looking at unexpected wild animals because it's not just that story. This week, Shakira, her breasts are humble. On the gram, she claims that two wild boars attacked her in a Barcelona park and destroyed her bag. Now, I presume that's a backpack.
Fendi? Yeah. Oh, okay, yep, okay.
I presume. Or Nadia Bartel has travelled to Barcelona. We're not sure yet. But 131060, unexpected wild animals. Max in Queensland, what's your story?
Yeah, I had a tiger snake that I found in the backyard after coming home with the dog from taking it for a walk.
Ooh!
Yeah, out to him inside to grab a Tupperware tub, put the tub over it. Oh. Got a bit of cardboard, slid it underneath, flipped it.
Like you do with a spider?
Yeah.
That's what you do with a spider, not a tiger snake.
Where did you put it after that?
Just called the local snake catcher. He came up and collected it and re-released it 5 km out.
Okay. Damn.
Before you go, Max, can you just do me one favour? Can you just say, crocodile came up, bit my guts out? Can you just say that one line?
Crocodile came up, bit me guts out.
Perfect. Thank you, Max.
That's brilliant.
Couldn't have asked any more from you, mate. I'm going to send Max gets a $200 salt and pepper voucher.
Love it.
Lewis on the Central Coast, what's your encounter with a wild animal?
I was 7 years old and I was out at my grandma's funeral, actually. And mid-service needed to chuck a leak and my mum sent me out there to go chuck a leak. Mm. So I was hanging a leak underneath this big gum tree and... underneath me, it starts uncoiling a big king brown snake.
Damn!
Yeah, I ran in there quicker than back into that church that you could say anything.
Yeah, I bet.
I thought there was going to be a bloody, there's two snakes out in the bush that day. You know what I'm saying? Trouser snake. But Florida's people are different. They're so used to alligators over there. Have you seen those footage of those huge ones walking across golf greens over there and people like literally shoot their shots on the par threes around them?
Crazy. I know, right? Like, I am growing up in the bush, right? And we used to come across a lot of like different kinds of animals, but I remember one time like a porcupine was walking down the middle of the street and my dad was at work at the time, but they walk, like he was walking pretty slow. He was in the middle of the road. So I just stood behind it to make sure no cars would hit it. My dad came home from work and here I am in the middle of the road trying to guard a porcupine. I didn't try to touch it though.
Luke, let's talk to you in Kilmore. You came across a wild animal. Which one was it?
A kangaroo.
Okay.
So me and my mate, I went camping for the first time and we were like, oh, let's go get firewood. And I forgot to lock the tent up properly, come back and we heard the tent moving. I'm like, what's going on? Is there someone in the tent? Looked in the tent, was a kangaroo.
Yeah, right. Did you eat it?
Mate, we had siblings for burgers, but not that one.
I think we should also bring up the fact that, yes, Jules did eat kangaroo and off the land.
I grew up on roadkill. I grew up.
Thank you, Luke. Still love that classic video of that guy punching the kangaroo after it was holding onto his dog.
You know, that happened out in Dubbo where I grew up. Out near where I grew up, yeah.
There you go. Tom and Griffith, you got a wild animal encounter. What animal was it?
It was a 4 meter long saltwater crocodile.
Jesus!
Where were you?
I was living in Darwin at the time and I was playing a round of golf. I'm not very good golf player at that, and basically hit the ball and it went straight into the pond. And next thing we see is this about a 4 meter long crocodile basically surface and just do a bit of a roll and a swim around and sort of, we're only a few, you know, only probably 10 meters from it. So, that 10 metres soon became about 30 metres, but yeah.
Yeah. Which one's like the dangerous one? Because I know like
saltwater crocs.
So, okay. All right.
Oh, you take an alligator over a croc any day. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, right, I've been swimming with alligators.
Well, my dad was in Cairns for a very long time. When I visited him once, he had a, there was a lagoon near him and it had murky waters. And Dad's like, this is a crocodile free lagoon. I'm like, as if I take a chance, champ.
Yeah.
There's zero chance I'm bathing in this bad boy, even though it was like 90% humidity. I was like, nope.
You didn't go in?
Of course not.
Oh.
I still jump in Olympic pools and think there's great white sharks in there. As if I'm actually hopping into a Cairns lagoon.
I can't swim at night, seriously, because that thought in my mind. I've watched too many movies, seriously.
And the Cairns lagoon, the actual pool there, I still shudder to think. I take my time and dip a toe in. thanks for your story.
Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
I have shaved my head, raising money for the world's greatest shave and the Leukemia Foundation. But I said if I got to my goal of $3,000, specifically in 48 hours online, I would choose to have a reverse mohawk for a week. It's a mistake. We got there pretty quickly. And now I'm rocking it. It's definitely the worst haircut I've ever had. But obviously, for the people who are listening, you know, the team, my friends, family, we all know the circumstances for why I didn't. There's a little bit of a good on you, Angus.
Yes.
But for my barista, he has no idea why I have a reverse mohawk.
See, that's the thing, like having to explain it, right?
Yeah.
Or feeling like you have to, and you just can't explain it to everyone.
I'm just have to, and I can't, I promise not to wear a hat or a beanie either. Like I have to rock it.
Okay, so from now on, that's it?
So I'm just, no, just for the week. I mean, and then I just don't know. I think I'm just going to stay inside and play Call of Duty. But I'm looking for horror hair stories. Let's go to Corinne in Queensland, Long Ridge. What's yours?
Well, my mum used to just perm my fringe.
Oh, that's enough. Just your fringe?
Yeah, just the fringe.
Oh, my gosh.
I have no idea.
It kind of, Fran Drescher comes to mind when I think of you. Is that close-ish? Like that really curly woof, 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 woof.
Like it was like little poodle fringe and then get straight off the back.
Oh, but like how short was the fringe? Was it just above your eyebrows?
Yeah, no. So, well, I'm really fair, so I have no eyebrows anyway.
Should have permed them.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that's terrible.
I can just picture it. Oh,
thank
brilliant.
You. Josh in New South Wales, what's your horror hair story?
Hi, guys.
Hey, mate.
Hey.
So when I was in primary school, I chose to shave my hair right down to like a number two on top, but left like 4 inches of fringe on the front.
Oh.
Like a reverse mullet.
Wow.
How long was it like that for?
Oh, years. That's the only haircut that I would let anyone give me.
I love it. And now the mullet, thanks to Western Bulldogs players, are becoming famous on Instagram.
I know, I know.
Now, that's my horror haircut story. Currently rocking a reverse mohawk, but Jules, what was yours?
I'm going to chuck mine up on our Instagram page in the story, so you can go and check it out. But right, I was in this 8-year relationship. And like, for those that don't know what I look like, I'm Filipino and I've got really long dark hair, or I had really long dark hair.
Thanks to the hairdresser.
And
thanks to those bits of tape in your hair.
And I just came out of a breakup after 8 years.
Okay. Oh, and I love this new you.
Yes. My girlfriend was a hairdresser, and I went to her and said, cut it all off. Just cut it all off. And she cut it into a pixie haircut. I'm going to try and show you.
It's a Karen.
Chuck it up. It is a Karen haircut.
It's a Karen haircut.
And not only that, I went from Asian black, jet black hair to bleached peroxide blonde.
Peroxided.
But it wasn't like that real blonde. It was like that yellow blonde.
Excuse me.
Anyway, I'm going to check it up.
Can I please
check
get Brent up. Brent to Target? I need you in aisle 4. I need a price check on an inflatable pool. This is Karen.
Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
And tell me your worst nappy change. This is obviously for parents, but I'm bringing it in for aunties. Have you changed?
Aunties and uncles as well?
If you dared to. I mean, I don't know why you would elect to give the parents a nappy change off. It just doesn't. Well, you get to be if you're an auntie, you get to do the fun stuff.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, sometimes the fun stuff, you know, involves doing that.
That's not fun.
You have to do it. I tell you, I've got 3 little nieces and, I have had to change some explosive poo nappies.
I don't know why you would. I've got an 8-month-old daughter, Indy, and she was due for her second flu vaccination.
Oh, yeah.
So due to restrictions, you're only allowed one person to go in at a time to the doctors, just little like cute doctors on the corner in our suburb.
Did Em nominate you to go in? Because it's nothing worse than seeing a little bubba get a needle.
Exactly the reason that I'm always on injection duty, and I'm fine with it. Now, shout outs to Helen, the nurse. She was beyond amazing. She had all the toys. She had all the tricks. As I took off Indy's pants and she's in her little onesie sort of thing, she's got her big croissant chubba chubba legs out, which is my favorite thing in the world. And she goes, hey, this baby's perfect for a needle because she's so chubby, she won't even feel it. She's like, I reckon I can do this without her crying.
So, oh, sorry, it goes in the leg, yeah?
Yep, into
the
right leg. Yep.
Right, so right.
And little Indy's got some chubbers. And anyway, bang, Helen nails it. She's shaking this, you know, tin full of buttons. And,
Indy's
just distracted by the beautiful colors. And bang, needle's in, needle's out. What a great experience. And as I was taking her off my lap to put her back into the pram, because you've got to sit in the waiting room for 15 minutes just to see if there's any sort of reaction.
Yeah.
I put her in and I smell the stonks. Ooh. Oh, boy. I just go, whoa. Okay, we've got a big diaper over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Helen, amazing, goes, there's a change room in the toilets.
And nice.
Perfect. Nice wide open thing. I roll the pram in through the doorway.
Wait, did she say that to you before you said anything or she could just smell
it? No, I said, I'm like, whoa, we need to change this baby.
Okay.
I think she was being kind though. You know, it would have been hard not to smell this. So we go into this little, not little, into a room, like a disabled bathroom with a change room. I pull down the change room and I should give a bit of backstory. Emily and I during the week had gone for a picnic with friends.
Mm-hmm.
So on Wednesday, and this is, baby injection Friday. On the Wednesday previous, we'd gone for a picnic.
Yeah.
And it was our job to bring the cheese. And so we bought a camembert, a brie and a blue cheese, and we bought 2 cheese cutting knives.
Oh, yeah.
The knives was the last thing that we forgot as we're rushing out the door. And so as we went to leave, we're like, oh God, we haven't got knives. Just in case, you know, Bennis and our friends don't have knives, let's go back. I grabbed them and I just put them, no, actually I shouldn't say that. Emily put them into, I didn't know where she put them. But she put them into a bag.
Yeah.
As we got back from the picnic, everything was packed away, cleaned, etc. So I go to get a nappy out of a bag underneath the pram. And I put my hand in and I'm looking around for a nappy and wipes. And all of a sudden I feel something sharp and I'm like, I know what that is. That's the nappy wipes. It's the little plastic toggle that you lift up to keep the nappies fresh so they stay wet and moist. And so I grab onto it and pull. And that was the cheese board knife.
Oh.
And I sliced my finger into what I honestly considered could have been stitches.
Oh, show me.
Luckily, I was in the right
place. It ain't that bad.
I asked the doctor, but blood starts pouring everywhere. It's dripping. And then once you add water to it, it looks like a murder scene is happening in this bathroom. I've got a baby who's crying her head off on the change room
and
over there.
A nappy full.
I've got everything's happening. And so
well, look,
all of a sudden.
You're in the right spot, though.
Well, I've got to change the nappy first. So I wrap my finger in toilet paper. Wrap it. I change her nappy. It's blood's dripping all over Indy, all over her beautiful whale yellow jumper, all on the nappy. It's an absolute catastrophe. I finally clean it all up. I'm just in a huff. And I genuinely walked outside. And there's a lineup of two people waiting to use this only bathroom in the doctor's.
Right.
And I walk out there. And I go, sorry, guys, nappy nightmare. I wasn't taking the piss. It was like, you know, it was a lot going on in there. And then this old guy holds up a yellow tub and goes, well, I'm taking a piss. And I was like, I'm really sorry.
Now, I've got a story for you. It's not one personally for myself with my nieces, but it's a good reminder that to always wash your hands after you change a nappy, because Xavier Ellis, used to work with him in Perth, and, you know, for those that don't know, he's a three-time premiership player.
He
used to eat chips every morning. Oh, not every morning, most mornings. And he would, like, you know when you finish a bag of chips and you lick your fingers?
Of course.
And all of a sudden he went, oh, oh. And I was like, what? And he's like, oh, I changed Ted this morning before I came to work. Ugh. And there was a bit stuck underneath his finger, and he licked it.
Heinous. Brenton in Red Bank Plains, mate. It's not you, it's your dad with a nightmare nappy change.
Yeah, he was looking after my two girls, and we took him to the park for the day, as good pars do.
Yep.
And the youngest, who was probably about just a bit over one at the time, one and a half nearly. Uh-huh. She was in the pull-ups. And he wasn't aware that they have a tearaway side. So she'd done a nugget in the old nappy for the public thing. And he didn't know how to take it off. So he slid it on down and there was poo everywhere.
You probably, like, not to, like, be generational or sort of gender specific, but back then he probably didn't change it, your nappies back in the day, right?
I have no idea. He said that he did. No.
Of course he would.
But like cloth nappies with the safety pin.
True. Thanks, Brenton. Tara in Newcastle, what's your nappy nightmare story?
So we were driving on a freeway and I could hear and smell my son's evidence as such.
Yeah.
And basically he was strapped into his car seat in the back. So by the time we got home, because a bit safer than trying to do it on the side of a freeway.
Cool.
Basically, it was like back filler all through his butt crack, up his back. It was actually poking out his jumpsuit sort of on the neckline.
Whoa.
Which I pretty much...
Hit the tag?
I just threw the jumpsuit away.
Of course.
And just straight into the bathroom tub. And
because it's not that it couldn't have been cleaned as an outfit, but it's the memory of that change.
True.
I mean, it's not worth it. He's probably going to outgrow it in 4 weeks' time. Oh, my gosh. You're a hero, Tara. Brian on the Gold Coast, nappy nightmare. What's yours?
Yeah, mate. My oldest daughter was about 8 months old, and she had a bit of a poo explosion, and she had one of those onesies on with those small buttons that you can never get undone.
Hang on. Let's just talk about the three buttons at the crutch. Surely there's a better technology. I know Velcro, it's too tight for Velcro, I understand that, but there's got to be something better.
The zipper? Don't they have the zipper ones now?
Oh, I hope so. I'll find them.
They've got to guy-proof them because guys just can't get them right.
Yeah. Me too, man.
Your fingers are too big. I like to do
them.
I
get
up
to the end and I forgot one on the other side.
Anyway, so on inspection, she actually exploded into both legs of the onesie.
Yeah.
And filled both legs up.
filled both legs up like a Christmas stocking.
Yeah.
so you can imagine what it was like once you got everything off. And you know, you couldn't get enough baby wipes out of the baby wipe container. I mean, there's never enough baby wipes.
I mean, it's at least she was 8 months old and not 18 months old. Because once they get to that 18 month old and they start to turn really, you know, solid, they get like a different smell about it.
Oh, Jesus.
Dylan, Jules, and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.